sponsors.
You heard the man. Freedom. This is Krista, and you are on Backbone Radio. We are talking with the Honorable Bob Schaefer. And one of the things that I did not mention when I gave his long bio is that he is also the chairman of the Leadership Program of the Rockies, an organization which I am an incredible fan. Not only am I a fan, I'm a volunteer, a contributor, I'm a graduate, and I'm an occasional speaker. So I don't know if I could be any more involved in that organization without actually being a paid member of the staff. But I wanted to give you a second to talk about not just the Leadership Program, the Program of the Rockies, but also the upcoming retreat, which I think I've been at the last five retreats. They are exceptional. Tell us about the upcoming one.
Well, the upcoming one is February 24th and 25th. It's at the Broadmoor Resort down in Colorado Springs. And our keynote speaker was just announced as Dennis Miller, comedian, political commentator. I don't know, he's quite a philosopher. And
he's really funny.
He is, and he always drops these pithy grenades of truth and philosophy
and
political political observation that I find great agreement with, so I'm looking forward to hearing him speak. It's an annual retreat. The Leadership Program of the Rockies is a civic leadership training program. It's been around in Colorado for many, many years, and has some graduates who have gone on to accomplish great and wonderful things, including our host tonight, Krista Kafer,
yeah.
A graduate.
I don't know if I've done any great and amazing things, but I will vouch for the great and amazingness of the LPR, because not only is it a fantastic class, I think there 9 or 10 days of class once a month for an entire year. It's very selective to even get into it, because the speakers that teach the class are high caliber national speakers. And the amount of learning that takes place in a year, once a month, is extraordinary. It's about 80 people that go through the class every year?
It's 65.
65.
And we have quite a lot of people who apply to get in the program. And we have interview panels that involve some state legislators and members of the LPR board. And
me too. I do those.
Past graduates. and we score and rank, get to the top 65 individuals in the class, and then they meet for 9, as you mentioned, monthly for 9 months. And there's a lot of assignments that take place. So there's some reading and so on that goes on in between those classes. But the classes really are, the strength and the weight of them is the monthly courses. We just fly in some of the nation's best speakers and philosophers on a variety of topics, whether it's the Constitution or tax policy or contemporary issues, welfare, education, topics of that sort. And then there's skills development involved in being in the class too, but what happened, and the one event that is open to everyone, you don't have to be a class member, is this annual retreat, and it's just spectacular. Our numbers keep growing. Last year we had I think it was around 600 people who were there at one place at one time, and I mean, just imagine it's. Political commentators and political activists, state legislators, federal political officials, and
so it's 2 days of speakers. It's not. I mean, the keynote is amazing. It's Dennis Miller. I mean, you've had amazing folks keynoting before, but it's the fact that there are a series of great speakers up to the keynote. It's Saturday and Sunday, or is it Friday and Saturday?
It's a Friday and Saturday. And it's just spectacular. So anyone interested, they could go to www.leadershipprogram.org, and all the information is right there. And it's just a great weekend. Great, if you're a conservative couple, it's a great place to.
The Broadmoor
spend a couple
is
days
beautiful.
And also, if you've got high school kids, I know for myself, I've enjoyed taking my kids as they've gotten to college and high school. High school and college age, and it's a great treat for them just to see be exposed to so many great thinkers, and to just see what adults are supposed to do in the context of trying to rescue and restore their country. It's a great thing for young people to be involved in too. Ticket prices are pretty cheap, or not cheap, I wanted to say they're pretty steep, but they're affordable, and they're And it is a five-star resort, so it's not the cheapest thing to be involved in from a cost standpoint, but I don't know too many people who have said it's not worth it after spending Friday and Saturday down at the Broadmoor just enjoying some of the best minds in the country coming together to talk about the future of the Republic.
Before I took the class, I went to the retreat. I remember you told me about it, and it was right after I'd moved back to Colorado, and I'd been in D.C. for 9 years, and I was already starting to feel hungry for mental stimulation, and I was able to get that at those 2 days, so much so that I ended up enrolling in the class. And, you know, I think what people don't realize is that a lot of Midwest and Western states don't get these kinds of high-caliber meetings. I mean, these kinds of events are held routinely in Washington, D.C. You could probably find them in New York City, maybe in, you know, points in California. But you're not going to see this caliber of an event really in the central part of the country. And that's what makes it so special, is that it is a D.C. quality group of high caliber people, or people from all around the country. But it is the kind of event that you would see at the Heritage Foundation or but it's here. It's here in the Rocky Mountains. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Our speakers, when they come out, and, you know, so many of them, they've heard about the leadership program of the Rockies, but once these big names come out and speak, the first thing they ask us is, wow, why aren't we seeing more of this around the country? And it's a good question. I wish we were seeing more of it around the country, but it really, it's really special that we've got this program here in Colorado and that it's as you say, right in our backyard. And many of these speakers, they just want to come back. They love coming. And
it's prime ski season.
Too.
I'm with you. I'd like to see these in all parts of the country, because I think that particularly the Tea Party movement, you've got a lot of energetic, excited, enthusiastic people that could use this kind of caliber of training, so they can go from being kind of an enthusiastic person that shows up at events to being somebody who runs for the state house or runs for the state board or city council, who's willing to kind of take it to the next step as far as their involvement in politics.
Sure. You know, I refer to it or phrase it as making the transition from commentary to real leadership. And, you know, you see that a lot. I know you do, and we tend to, when we consider things like the Tea Party movement, you know, there are a lot of people who have opinions and they enjoy writing papers and giving speeches and even grabbing a microphone and speaking to a crowd on the steps of the state house, perhaps. But then what? You know, ideas are great and you have to have them, and vision is so critical and important. But if you consider what made going back to the founders, what made the founding fathers so memorable and the impact on humanity so profound, is that they had more than ideas. They had ideas that they were able to put into action, and that is the essence of leadership, and that's what we discuss at the Leadership Program of the Rockies. So it's, you know, we talk about the philosophy, we talk about the vision, we talk about the consistency with America's traditions and applying them today, but then we go through the next steps of, now what do you do? And, you know, how do you build a constituency? How do you raise the money? How do you go through the various tactics that involve putting together a campaign, whether it's for getting elected, or whether it's a campaign to take an issue and move it forward and change a community or a state or, in fact, perhaps the entire country?
Oh, and what I like, well, one of the many, many things I like about it is that focus on first principles, because I think you do have some people who are talented. They manage to get into government, but they don't have those first principles. They've got maybe some good conservative instincts, but where they run afoul is the first lobbyist pulls them aside and says, hey, I need you to favor this business for me, or I need you to give us a line item for this, or wouldn't it be great if we had a law that did this? And without those first principles, that kind of enthusiastic, well-meaning person ends up doing things that are not constitutional, that are not oriented to the free market or to freedoms, and they end up doing damage in spite of themselves.
Well, you've got to be... politics rewards likable people, typically. And so often, you know, people might have been accomplished in business or in academia or wherever they happen to come from, and somebody says, you know what, you should run for office because everyone likes you, and you've done well in your industry. And so frequently, these people get elected. And, you know, Krista, you and I saw this when we were working back in Washington together. I mean, they're very likable people
mm-hmm.
back there.
Nice
they're
people.
Impressive leaders. But, you know, throw a question in front of them like, you know, trade with China or a national defense question or something dealing with maybe taxes, the mechanics of our economy, and they're lost. And you're exactly right. Likeable people tend to be liked by lobbyists.
Yeah, exactly. They can either do deer in the headlights or end up just becoming going over to the dark side. Now, I've got the monitor up. The music has started. That means we're coming to an end. So I just wanted to say, Bob, thanks a lot for being on the show, and I hope we can have you on again.
Oh, I'd love to. It's great connecting with you, Krista, and I really admire what you're doing.
Thanks. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
We are indeed taking care of business. This is Krista, and you are listening to Backbone Radio. It's been a fantastic show. I just, Jay Ambrose, Bob Schaefer, two people that I really, really admire. Smart, thoughtful, interesting, and have shown, I think, a lot of leadership. And not only that, I think they've taken time to spend with me to help mentor me as a writer, as a thinker, as perhaps maybe someday a leader. And I just, my hat is off to both of them, and I'm glad that they both took time for the show. And I will certainly have them back on the show because I think they're really great to hear from. And I put myself in the shoes of the listener, and I am a big radio listener. And I think, you know what? Who would I want to hear? I'd want to hear Bob Schaefer. I'd want to hear Jay Ambrose. And I am a big radio person. As I've said before on the show, I don't watch much TV, but I do love talk radio, both NPR and also conservative talk radio. I love 710 KNUS, and am more than happy. In fact, I feel it's a privilege to be behind the microphone. Want to thank my producer tonight, Don. Awesome. Good job. And just thank you, Ross, for giving me the opportunity to be here on the show, because it has been it's been a good experience for me, and I love it, in fact. And if you want to join me on this last leg of the show, I've would love to have you on. I can give you the number momentarily, as it is somewhere in my 696-1971. Thank you, Don, as the number got a little bit lost in the stack of stuff. But there you have it. So if you're listening and you want to chat with me, I would love to have you on. Anyway, back to the pile. As I promised, we'd start off with the weird. We'd go from the weird to the sad, and then we went from the sad to the serious. And somewhere in that transition, I mentioned an article by Time Magazine, and then talked about one of the places that I recommend you contribute if you haven't contributed yet this year. I know it's only been 12 days, but it's the Fistula Foundation. I looked it up. It really helps repair the bodies of young girls, yeah, not just young girls, but also older women who have had, usually it's from having a baby too young in some of these sort of barbaric places where girls are married off at 12 years of age, and they end up being injured in the process of delivering their babies, and their bodies are wrecked by it. And the Fistula Foundation pays for these women to get their bodies repaired and are able to go back and be, to be the women that they can be, because the devastation that is wrought to their bodies makes it very difficult for them to be mom, a wife, an employee. And so if you haven't contributed yet this year, that would be one organization that I would pick. I always pick a couple of organizations every year in addition to just regular sort of church giving and that kind of thing, and that would be one of them. Also, obviously, I would recommend the Heritage Foundation. I recommend them second. So if you're going to give something, give to the Fistula Foundation. But then if you've got more to give, give also to the Heritage Foundation. They are the ones that are behind the website that I mentioned, the dirtyspendingsecrets.com, and behind a lot of really great things in Washington, D.C. And really, when I lived in Washington, D.C., there were all kinds of lobbyists. You name it, there was a lobbyist. It was there are literally hundreds, probably thousands of groups that want your taxpayer money. And so they show up to the congressman's office and say, or congresswoman's office, say, I want to meet with a congresswoman or congressman or the staff. And I would sit down in the case of when I worked there, and it would be, hi, I'm so-and-so with so-and-so, and we would really like to have a earmark for $2 million for X, Y, or Z, or we would really like you to do this, that, or the other, support this program that would give us $10 million. And there was never, you know, I never had anyone show up and be like, hi, I'm a lobbyist for the taxpayer. I'm here to say, please stop spending more than you take in. Please stop spending my grandchildren's money. Please reform these programs. Please don't tax me any more than I'm taxed. I just didn't have, you know, the average taxpayer does not have a lobbyist. But they do have one thing. They have the Heritage Foundation, and the Heritage Foundation is the one that goes to bat for the taxpayer, not as a lobbyist, but as an educational organization that goes to these members of Congress and says, you know what, it is absolutely absurd that our level of deficit spending, or the fact that our debt is equal to our gross national product, the fact that we are spending our future generations' inheritance, that we are, as you know, the fact that Congress and the president is responsible for it, and the fact that most of the time they don't have the guts to do the right thing. I can honestly say there is one, at least one entity that is sticking up for me as a taxpayer, and that is the Heritage Foundation. Worked there for many, well, worked there for 4 years and have been a contributor ever since. I can vouch for that organization and the people that work for it. And so I guess I'll end my sale pitch there. They are not paying me. I just, you know, every once in a while I like to kind of take my hat off to organizations that that I like. In the past couple of shows, I've had some folks from local organizations that I like. And hey, it looks like we've got a caller. Let's go ahead and put this caller on. Hi.
How you doing tonight?
Great. Thanks for calling the show.
Sure. Well, you know, you were just talking about Washington, and that's one of my frustrations. And, you know, in the midst of everything going on in Washington and Wall Street and every place else overseas, it seems like our whole emphasis and desire to do anything about the energy crisis has gone down the tubes. And I'm wondering, from your background and experience, where do you think this is going to go? Do you think it's ever going to get any attention again?
Well, I'm hoping it will get attention. I know it does get a little bit of attention so far as we've got the like the oil pipeline, the Keystone pipeline, that there's a good possibility the president will block that. There is continued investment of taxpayer money in boondoggles like Solyndra. There's another one. I've got an article somewhere in my stack of stuff. Let's see. This one is called The Range Fuels Fiasco, where they've taken in taxpayer funds and are now going belly up. I, you know, like everyone else, I'm for different forms of energy. I mean, can't really be against energy. But each mode of harvesting energy has its drawbacks. So wind turbines kill birds. Dams and hydro energy are only available in certain areas. Nuclear energy is very productive, but obviously there's a poisonous byproduct there. Fossil fuels, there are issues there. But the fact that people tend to hold up certain kinds of energy production as somehow pure and wonderful and without any cost, and then sort of put down other kinds of energy fuels as being kind of all cost, no benefit, is absurd. Each one of these has certain costs and benefits, and I'd like to see our country maximize its energy production by not sort of bad-mouthing, but actually having an honest look at costs and benefits and exploiting these different kinds of energy bases where appropriate. I mean, you don't want to have wind turbines in a migratory bird path. You don't want to have, nuclear energy in an earthquake zone. So there are definitely, I'd like to see a reasonable discussion that does not involve hyperinflated rhetoric. I'd like to hold you over the break and talk to you a little bit more about this, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we will be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Backbone Radio.